Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess there was supposed to be a theme for the LTC this year, but I didn't really stick to it, so I went with something more comfortable, I guess. Do you ever fear that you'll lose everything? Are you ever concerned about your home? Are you too focused on the news? Are you overwhelmed by your bills? Is your life being consumed by anything? I'm telling you that you should not be worried about any earthly thing. Obviously, you should pay your bills, but don't let it be too important in your life. Please turn to Matthew 6:19. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We need to have minds focused on God and godly things. If we live of the world and have our citizenship be of the world, we will surely perish and not have eternal life. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, meaning that when we pass on, we will be taken to the room he has prepared us in his holy kingdom, but only if we live according to the scripture and continually strive for the goal of eternal life. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. In verse 24 through 27, Paul brings forth an important point. The passage says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we and imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." I believe that the disqualification that Paul speaks of is in reference to being ineligible from obtaining eternal life. We need to have endurance for ourselves and then try to bring others with us. I believe that our number one goal in life on earth is to get to the holy kingdom. Our second goal is to bring as many people as we possibly can. This world isn't our home, and it will pass away. But once we get there, Revelations 21, verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will be no longer any mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." Have you been distracted by the treasures here? If you have, you can make a change today. Please don't don't make this place your home. Thank you.
Good morning. If you'd like to mark in your songbooks the Song of Invitation, it's going to be number 43 in the small purple book. Well, lately I've been seeing a lot of people have had this catchphrase that they've been saying, and it's things like, God first, God before all, and then you look at their lives and you wonder if God is really the number one priority. And we need to make sure that we're constantly examining our lives and making sure that we're putting God first and making him the king of our hearts, not just by what we say, but how we live. So today we're going to look into God's word and find out what he has to say about honoring him and putting him first. And the first question we ask, of course, is why? Why are we supposed to put God first in our lives? And the easy way to answer that is because God tells us to, and God yearns to be first in our lives. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, it reads, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is a jealous God." Now, this is a concept that can be a little bit confusing and hard to understand, because here we have God, who created the entire universe. He created us. He's perfect, he's great, he's almighty, and he's saying that he's jealous here. But this isn't the same kind of jealousy that we get when we really want our neighbor's car or our friend's shoes. God is jealous for our attention. We're the people that he made and that he put so much care into creating. And when he sees us putting all our time into things of this world, it really pains him to see. He's a jealous God because he longs for our love and our attention the same way he gives us his love and his attention. And the next question we should ask is, how do we put God first in our lives and make sure he's the king of our hearts? If you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 15, we can look at the pretty simple answer. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." God wants us to show his love for him by keeping his commandments and doing what he says. And doesn't this just make sense? I mean, I've never been a parent, but I know that parents really like it when you keep their commandments. And when we keep our Heavenly Father's commandment, we're showing him that doing his will is our number one priority. And let's look at some examples from the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. Now, a little bit of background on this passage. God is really angry with the people of Amalek, and he wants to take his wrath out on them. So he tells Saul, the king of Israel, to attack the Amalekites and destroy everything, leaving nothing behind. So Saul went and attacked the Amalekites, and they won the battle, and he destroyed almost everything. But he let the Amalekite king live, and he and his men took the best of their livestock. And this was a direct disobedience with God. So God tells Samuel, his prophet, to go confront Saul about what he's done. And we'll start reading in verse 13 of chapter 15. "Samuel finally caught up with Saul, and Saul told him, 'I hope the Lord will bless you. I have done what the Lord told me.' 'Then why,' Samuel asked, 'do I hear sheep and cattle?' 'The army took them from the Amalekites,' Saul explained. 'They kept the best sheep and cattle so that they could sacrifice them to the Lord your God. But we destroyed everything else.' 'Stop,' Samuel said. 'Let me tell you what the Lord told me last night.' 'All right,' Saul answered. Samuel continued, 'You may not think you're very important, but the Lord chose you to be king, and you are in charge of the tribes of Israel. When the Lord sent you on this mission, he told you to wipe out those worthless Amalekites. Why didn't you listen to the Lord? Why did you keep the animals and make him angry?' 'But I did obey the Lord,' Saul said. 'I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal.' But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. The Lord was so upset with Saul because of what his disobedience shows. By not obeying the Lord, Saul was saying two things. First of all, he's saying that he knows better than God. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do, but he thought that his way was better. He's telling God, who created the entire universe, that what he said to do was wrong, and that, of course, is not possible. And we're doing the same thing when we sin. The second thing Saul is doing is putting himself and what he wants in front of God and what God wants. You can see in verse 20, he tries to make excuses and tries to make it seem like he was doing the right thing. He says, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag their king." Well, God didn't tell him to bring back Agag the king. He said to destroy everyone. And then in verse 21, he says, "The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." So he's trying to cover up what he did and saying, "Oh, we were doing this good thing. We were going to sacrifice. We were doing all this for God." And then Samuel replies in verse 22, and he says, "To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." God just really wants for us to obey him. And when he sees us, his children, obey him, it brings him the delight that parents get when your kids obey you. Saul did what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do. And this is where he went wrong, and this is what ultimately got his title of king stripped from him. God wanted someone who would obey him and make God king of his heart. In 1 Samuel 16, God sends his prophet Samuel to a man named Jesse of Bethlehem, because God wants one of his sons to become king. So Samuel obeyed God and went to Jesse to look over his sons. In chapter 16, verse 6, it reads, "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab," that's one of Jesse's sons, "and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'The Lord has not chosen this one either.' Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, 'Nor has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'There is still the youngest,' Jesse answered. 'He is tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.' So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." As it says in verse 7, God was looking at the heart, and he saw something in David's heart that couldn't be found in any of the other brothers and couldn't be found in Saul. In Acts 13:22, it reads, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testifies concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" Now, we've all heard David being called a man after God's own heart. He did everything God wanted him to do, and he tried to obey all of God's commands, and God rewarded him by making the king. He had God as his number one priority, and great things happened to David. In the verse we read earlier, John chapter 14, verses 16, God tells us that if we love him, we should keep his commandments. But he adds some incentive for us too. In verse 16, he says, "If we do so, he will be with us forever." And that's one of the great things about God. God could just say to us, "Do my will because I am God." And that would be perfectly fair. He made us, we should do everything we can to do his will. But God, oh, he's just such an awesome God. It's like when you do something really good, like you get straight A's on a report card, and you come home, you show it to your parents, you're expecting something really cool to be given to you. And then they say, you get the reward of self-satisfaction. God gives us more than self-satisfaction. when we obey God, he says he's going to be with us forever in what we do. But of course, we're not always going to obey God. We're human and we'll make mistakes and we will disobey, which is something God hates. Even David, the man after God's own heart, committed a lot of sins. We all know about Bathsheba. And Paul, who was, in my opinion, the greatest missionary ever, called himself the chiefest of sinners. We're all going to sin, and God knows it. And as much as he hates it, he's given us an opportunity to be saved despite our imperfections. God showed his love for us when he sent his son to live with sinners like us and die for sinners like us so that we can be saved. By getting baptized, we can wash away our sins and the times we've been disobedient to God. If you need the prayers of the church or we can help you in any way, or if you want to be baptized and put on God in the watery grave of baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing.